And now may the Lord our God be with each and every one of you.
And also with you.
Let us pursue our Father in his word together. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the time that you have granted to us to be together. We thank you, Father, for the Church of Jesus Christ around the globe, those who share our faith, those who too will be with us for eternity, those who glorify you in their lives as we seek to glorify you in our lives. As you feed us this morning, Father, may we rest in that which you will tell us. Give us eyes to see, for otherwise we are blind. Give us clarity of vision, for otherwise we are confused. Give us peace through Christ Jesus our Savior. And so we rest in you, Father. Glorify yourself, for we ask it in Christ's name. And all of God's children said, Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated. Let's pursue what we began last week. We're on a glide path now to return to Ephesians chapter 5. And I anticipate that we will be doing that. It's been over a year since we've been there. We'll come back to Ephesians chapter 5. Paul's writing about the family. And we're going to do it in this fashion. Today we're going to finish looking at Psalm 34, because I said I would do that, verses 4 through 10. And then we will begin to turn our faces towards returning to Ephesians. And the way we're going to do that is next week, Lord willing, perhaps, or the week after, maybe the week after that, whenever the Lord gets around to it. But we're going to start looking at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And the reason we're doing that will become apparent to you next week. Basically, Peter and Paul are speaking about the same thing, the family. Husbands, wives, children, and your relationship with your employer, and how you are to be in this world. Peter takes a little slightly different approach to it. And it's kind of going to, since we're off track for the last year, he's going to draw us back to the track. And then once we're rolling, we'll pick it up in Ephesians again. So that this week we'll dust off Psalms 34 and deal with the issue of thankfulness, that we should be thankful and reasons for that, and all the things that we've been talking about for the last year or so. And then we will return to what Paul teaches us, and Peter, about families, about husbands loving their wives as the Lord loves the church, as wives loving their husbands. And it will become apparent to you why I want to start with 1 Peter when we talk about wives loving their husbands, because Peter lays a very solid theological basis for why you should submit to your husband. Paul does the same thing, but I don't think with the specificity that Peter does. And so we'll then shift next week, Lord willing, or the week after, 1 Peter to chapter 3. I want you to turn there with me, and I'm going to grab my electronical Bible, because I'm a master of the electronic Bible. Yeah, maybe not. And I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter, and I'm going to read it. 1 Peter chapter 3. And here's where we're going with this. In 1 Peter, let me get it up here. I thought I had it up here. 1 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. Notice the emphasis is on your own husbands. You are not supposed to be submissive to every man in the world. We'll talk about that. To your own husbands. So that even if some do not obey the word. Oh, now we're talking about a husband that isn't a Christian. What should I do? My husband's not a believer. Now, I've heard some wild and crazy things like, well, just leave him now. You're not obligated. Well, since when? No, that's not what Peter's saying. Even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word
by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. A gentle and quiet spirit. How would I obtain that? Well, Peter's going there. A gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Gentle and quiet spirit, very precious in God's sight. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves. There's a historical aspect he's going to bring in. Watch him do it. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves. How did they adorn themselves? With beautiful dresses and jewelry? No. Do you see what he says? How they adorned themselves by submitting to their own husbands. What? As Sarah, now he's going to give us a historical reference. Remember Sarah? You remember Sarah and Dave? Right next door here. Oh, remember Sarah? How Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children. Now here's the bell ringer. You're going to flip us off then up into Paul. And if you are her children, if you do good, listen now. And do not fear anything that is in fact frightening. What's he mean by that? That you do not fear anything that is frightening. Now, we've spent the better part of a year going over that. And there's where Peter brings us. And then takes us into how should a wife love her husband. But he's laid a very significant theological track to this. And that's what we want to look at. But first, I'll do what I said I was going to do, and we'll finish off in Psalm 34. The 34th Psalm. So if you would turn with me to the 34th Psalm. We did verses 1 through 10 is what we're looking at, but we already did 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I will read from verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's interesting, isn't it? I will bless the Lord all the time. His praise shall always, continually be in my mouth. And we talked about that last week. Tell the stories. It's in my mouth. Doesn't mean, oh, yeah, it's like a candy. Suck on it. No. He says, tell the stories. Your stories are the thanks to God. That's where we were last week. Verse 2 of Psalm 34. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify, verse 3, the Lord with me, make God big. We've talked about how we live in an age, what the church is doing is making God small. Very small. Really small. So we can handle him. But that's not what Scripture says. Make the Lord big. Magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. And then he says in verse 4, as we looked at it last week, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Now remember what we looked at in the last few weeks. Yes, he delivers you from all of your fears except one, the fear of God. Whom do you fear? Do you fear men or do you fear God? We always want to be honoring God. And then he says this, verse 5, new material. Those who look to him are radiant. Well, that's an interesting concept. Those who look to him shine. How do they shine? Life is so... That's the world you live in. Which side of the barrier are you on? Or, God's in charge. I'm going to enjoy this. Which side are you on? What does the world see in you? Everything's bad, no good, nothing ever. Ah. Is that your relationship with your God? Is that who we are? Those who look to him are radiant. I don't exactly know what that means, except that there's a difference in the very presence of a Christian who's not acting like the world. Well, everything's bad, no good. No, who's saying God is sovereign and he loves me and he will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He is my shepherd. He brought me here. Praise God. Right? And then we've looked at that. I remember, I haven't been in a hospital. Come the end of next month, it'll be a year. That's such good news. After all the surgeries and everything. I left the hospital for part of December. And I remember when I was told, you're going home. The doctor signed off, brain tumor. He said, you can go home. You can heal yourself at home as well as here. Supposed to stay 5 days, stay two. He says, you're doing fine. Go home. In walks my nurse. She's a wonderful nurse. They were all good nurses, most of them. And she's kind of dancing around and saying, I'm discharging you. I'm going to discharge you. And she stopped. And she turned and looked at me. She was on the other side of the room. She said, no, I'm not going to discharge you. You're too nice to us. Now, I didn't make an effort to be nice to you. I thanked you for what you did, sincerely. Always asked you how you were doing, what's going on. But when it came moment of departure, she said, you're too nice. I'm not sending you home. And then Betsy jumped up, beat the living daylights out of her. And, no, she was kidding, but she just said, I don't want you to leave. You're nice to us. You're too nice to us. I said, well, I'm making no effort to be nice to you. Ask my wife. I make very little effort to be nice to people. But what are you seeing? I don't know. I don't know. And I can't say. But there it was. Those who look to him are radiant. Now, that's not just David's experience. David's situation, King David, who wrote this, that's not unusual. It's not just his experience. His situation was not unusual. It's one we all live. All of the faithful experience this. You're just shining. Could that be said of us? You just radiate. You're a joy to be with. Is that you? Is that me? That's what he says we're supposed to be in the world. Those who look to him are radiant. It was not just David's experience. His situation isn't unusual. All the faithful experience this. All faithful Christians experience, each one, on looking to their Lord, living as a Christian of a sovereign God who shepherds your life moment by moment. And what do? Each one looking to their Lord, and your faces begin to shine. And your spirit is uplifted. God is with me. Oh, it's hellish. God brought me here. He has a reason. And he loves me. And so the psalmist picks up. Remember we listed a few weeks ago all the problems King David had. You say, well, his life was a king. No, I listed purposely the issues. Multiple issues. Yet he had to deal with. And yet he would say what he says here. And as we look to our Lord, our faces begin to shine and our spirits are uplifted. I don't like where I am, not happy with this, but I am where he led me. This is where he wants me. This is what he is saying. Betsy and I were tallying up the number 4 times in the last 4 years. I should have died. I was told I was going to. When this all started, I had sepsis. Do you know what the recovery rate for sepsis is? And I had full blown in the hospital for a month. The recovery rate is 10 to 20%. Those with full blown sepsis, 8 out of 10 will die. I didn't die. Remember, I told you, I'm out of it, didn't know what was going on, but I didn't die. Kidney failure, rushed to the hospital, it was life-threatening, didn't die. If your life is in the hand of God, he knows the moment of your death. And all the angels that are supposed to greet you are lined up. They've got their book out. And say, no, it's not today. They know when it is. God knows when it is. And David understood that. What a means of blessing. One solitary look at the Lord may be just to know that we're in his presence most of the time. Always. What a means of blessing. There is life, Christian. There is light. There is liberty. There is love. There is everything in a look at the crucified one, my Savior, Jesus Christ. And there has never been a time when one of God's children, you, a Christian, there has never been a time when a Christian looked to their Lord in vain and found that he's not there. That has never happened. And David proclaims that to us. And our face is never ashamed. This poor man, verse 6, King David writes, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. To be heard by God. Think what David's saying to me. When you cry out to God, oh God, help. He heard you. He's here. He knows what he's doing. He is here. And we don't look in vain for our God. Our faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man, King David says, cried and the Lord heard him. Verse 6, to be heard by God is to be delivered. And saved him, David writes, and saved him out of all of his troubles, out of those multiple troubles that we know that David had. How many times did God fail him? And we could down the list, we could spend a year going through the life of David. How many times did he find that God wasn't there? Never did. So says David. When have you found that God's not there? You never do. We started talking about this little pillow talk. I have a license. Cost me $5 54 years ago. That was a good investment. Forget gold and silver. Marriage licenses. $5, that's good. We've been doing a lot of talking. We said, one of those times I was supposed to die, I was being refused admittance to any hospital. Tom loaned me his nice Lincoln, and we were trying to get a blood test because the doctor said, you need a blood test, I need to know what's going on. Nobody
from here to Rochester. Even Lipson, where I'm a patient, no one would give me a blood test. You know why? Because I hadn't had the COVID test 3 days before. And one by one, they said, even in Lipson, we cannot draw your blood. You have to get the COVID test, and then in 3 days, we can do it. You don't know how weak I was, bad off I was. Ended up in Rochester. Went to all the labs. Everybody, nope, can't do it, can't do it, can't do it. Went to Rochester. We're in Rochester. Can't do it, they said. Can't do it. It's the old St. Mary's Hospital. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they said, can't do it. And I'm literally just like this, literally. Just, I can't stay awake, I can't stay up. In walks, must have been the head nurse. She walked in, said, what's going on? They said, he needs blood work, we have an order for it, but we can't do it because he hasn't had the COVID test. Computer gets to that point, says COVID test, no, it says can't do it. That's it. One lab after another. And that nurse said, tell the computer he had the test. Lie. And they did. And they drew the blood. And we didn't get outside of the city limits of Rochester before my doctor called and said, get to a hospital. I think he specified the hospital. Mm-hmm. Immediately. Do not dawdle. Both my kidneys had shut down. And he told me, if you had waited much longer, you'd be dead. Where'd that nurse come from? That's what we were talking about in bed this year. Where'd the nurse come from? That nurse who walked in, she wasn't even the nurse drawing the blood. It was going to. They didn't get past the computer. She came in and looked at me and said, what's going on? Well, we can't do it. Well, she said, tell it, he has the COVID test. And an hour later, I'm in the hospital with both kidneys having failed. Should have died. Could have died. Except God sent a nurse. A nurse who said, well, it could cost me my license, but I think you need to draw his blood. I don't know who she was. Does God? Is it that clear to us, the grace of God? Well, you know what it says. That's why we were thinking about it all this week. The seventh verse says this, Psalm 34, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. He encamps around me. The angel of the Lord is there and delivers them. Take heart and be of good courage. And then he says in the eighth verse what Peter will pick up on. We're not going to go to Peter. It's not where we're going to go in Peter. But he says this, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. The Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. The Lord is good. And how do you know that? You can only know the goodness of God through experience. God leads you day by day. Do you see the hand of God? Do you know that? The ninth verse then says, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him lack very little. But actually it doesn't say that. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him have no lack. See, what I was asking in our little discussion is where'd that nurse come from? Where was she sitting in the bowels of that, wherever we were?
What moved her to say, I think I'll get up and go out into the, whatever that room was where they're, and see what's going on, to say, what's wrong with this guy? And intervene. What drew her to get out from wherever she was and come with the authority to say, lie to the computer? And if you hadn't lied to the computer, I'd have gone home and died at home. The Lord our God. David experienced him, knows him, so do we. And David says in the 10th verse, the young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack for no good thing. Lack no good thing. We've been thinking about giving thanks to God. And we've been thinking about, as being Christians, giving thanks. Giving thanks to God as Christians, being thankful for everything, for all things. On Tuesday of this week, I got fitted for new glasses because I can't see close or far with these. Everything's a blur. See, right now I can't see if you're smiling or not. Next week I'll have new glasses, so you better not do this next week. You could stick your tongue out. You could be sleeping. I can't tell. I can't see. I can't see what's written down here in front of me very clearly. Can't see close at hand. Can't see far away. Desperately need new glasses. Desperately need somebody to do something. And as we went into the, what do they call it, eye doctor guy. That's, I think, is the medical term.
Optometrist.
My mind began to ponder. Have you ever had one of these eye exams? I'll bet every one of you has. You know what I'm talking about? Now or now? This or this? And now you start feeling like there's got to be a right and a wrong answer. I don't know. They both look pretty good. And no matter what I say, he's going to say it again. This or this? Oh, man, this is really pressure. I don't know. Blindness sounds like a good thing. How can that hurt? And we're going through the this or that. And sometimes it starts with what I'm doing. I'm going to end up with two separate pairs of glasses to have. Not, they'll both be bifocals. But that's neither here nor there. But, and he starts with what I've got and he says, can you read this? And I say, what are you referring to actually? No, I can't make out any of it. Is this better? No. Is this better? No. Is this better? Oh, yeah, I can read that. It's, what are you doing? And then he starts narrowing it down. You know what I'm talking about with this or that, this or that. We go through all of that. And left eye, right eye, you know, standing on your head, now this way, that. And then he narrows it down and he says, okay, can you read the chart now? I say, yeah. With the thing, the glasses they don't actually sell you. You know that thing goes, oh yeah, I can read that now. And he says, good. Now we've got it. Before it was out of focus, I couldn't tell you what that was at all. He does his magic for a half hour, comes up with all the formula, and then he says, can you read the chart now? I say, yeah. You know, with this big machine on. And I said, yes. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And he says, very good. I said, thank you very much. Very good. You can read that. I say, isn't that something? Yeah. And I started thinking about this as I'm going through it. And then when I got home, he's showing me the same chart at the end.
that he showed me at the beginning. And I couldn't make out anything when he said, sit down, let's just read that. And I don't know what any of it, I can't see. And he comes back to that at the end and he says, read it. And I said, I can't with the glasses, I can read it. Yeah. He says, good. $500, 2 weeks, you'll have new glasses. I said, that's great. When I started thinking about this, do we thank God? Because I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, you know what? Giving thanks to God, because we're dealing with that, gratitude is much like the work of my glasses. They bring, gratitude brings my understanding of God into a sharper focus. It's blurry, it's kind of hard. And I begin to thank God rather than blah, 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 I'm so upset, nothing's going good. No, thank you, Lord. Guide me, Lord. Be glorified, God. And it's like, this or this? Yeah, that. It's getting clearer. Gratitude does that. Gratitude helps us see. Gratitude helps you and I see the glory of God's mercy more clearly. It's out of focus. I don't clearly see it. And because our greatest joy is seeing God's glory, don't we all want to bring it into clarity? We want to increase our joy. And gratitude helps us see. Being thankful starts with seeing the value and the mercy of God's gift in us. At first, I don't see value or mercy at all. I might even be griping about it. But as I contemplate God with that, gratitude clarifies it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that my eyes are bad. Thank you, God, that this and that. And I start seeing things about God. I start understanding things about God. You and I see more clearly the glory of God's grace in Christ. When you and I think back on ways we know God, can't we see the hand of God as He has clearly led us? Don't we see that? And isn't that bringing things into focus? How'd you meet your wife? Oh, it just happened. Really? I love to hear the stories about how you meet. First time I saw Betsy was in the cafeteria at Garlock Hall at Roberts. And she was all decked out in her white nurses, everything. She's getting ready to go out with the nurses to the hospital after lunch. And that's the first time I saw her, and I came up behind her in the line. And I said, she's beautiful. She has her nose in a book, and she doesn't know anything's going on around her. She still does that. And I said, at dinner, I'm going to make an effort to sit closer. And so I sat, they had lines of tables like this, wasn't very creative, just long line. And I saw where she was sitting and I said, I'm sitting about 3, 4, 5 seats this way and across from where she is and see if we can engage in conversation. And we did, a little bit, distance. And then I went out to the hall when everybody's starting to leave, and I took a, that was back during my mental health issues, and I stood at the door with the fire extinguisher, and you know, fire extinguisher with one of those big heads, and I took the thing off, and I'm talking to it, and I'm saying, Mom, listen, like I'm talking to my mother, and I watch Betsy come by, and I go, would you hold on to this? I got to go get something my mom's on. And she did. Hello? And everybody laughed at her. And I thought, well, that'll kill it.
And she laughed.
It was funny.
It was funny. Did God know that's the way he was going to bring us together? Our first conversation? My mom's not really on the fire extinguisher. I know you knew that. And there we got it. How about all the schools and the jobs and the situations that you found yourself in over the years? How about when you found your first home? Just by chance, by accident? In all these times, in all those times we knew, when we look back, that God is in those decisions. God has led us to the right choices. Thanking him, we're caught up in the thanking of God. We are caught up in the joy of his presence. And he begins to come, and I say, thank you, God, for this. Oh, Rick, you don't see half of it. It's so out of focus for you. But thanking me, it begins to take focus. Thank you, God. You'll see more clearly. It starts with seeing the value and the mercy of God's gift. You and I see even more clearly the glory of God in the grace that is ours in Christ. And this will increase your joy in God. Because beholding God's glorious mercy is our all-satisfying joy. Doesn't that bring us joy? So when God calls us to give thanks, he's not just calling us to thank him for what he has done, but also he is calling us to rejoice in who he is. To thank God, to rejoice in his being, in what he is, as displayed in what he has done. The grand things he has done, the world, creation, but what he has done in my life, in how I ended up here, you ended up there. We all understand a sovereign hand, and we do what? We put on the glasses of gratitude, and we say, I want to see more clearly what you were doing. I didn't think you were interested, son. I am, Father. Show me. Show me your hand in my life, in the past. And I know from that your hand is always there in the future and in the present. So when God calls us to give thanks, he's not just calling us to thank him for what he has done, but God is also calling us to rejoice in who he is, to rejoice in the very being of our God, that he is displayed in what he has done. And that is why you and I, as believers, love to give thanks to God. Thanking God leads us to seeing more of God. It brings it into focus. And seeing more of God is a great joy. I couldn't make out those letters, but now I start to see the edges. And I see your hand, Father, when I didn't before. How can we thank God in a way that increases our joy in God? Well, the first thing is we seek the Spirit's help. The very goal of thanksgiving is seeing and feeling the glory of God's mercy. And I can't do that without the Spirit's work in my life. Nor can you. And so we ask for the Spirit's help. Lord, show me the clear contours. Bring things into focus that I have not seen, because I want to see more clearly what you are. That's the goal. But secondly, we want to contemplate the value of God, the value of what God has done for us. Consider the value of everything he has done in your life, all the gifts that he has given you. Think about your health, your friends. Something as simple as the food that's set before you. Think especially about your Savior, Jesus the Christ, whose death paid for your sin. And give thanks. And the outline in the image of God begins to become more clear. Think especially about our Savior, who purchased the fullness of joy in him for all of eternity. Think about the mercy of God's gifts. You don't think much about that. I'm breathing. My kidneys are working, I think. God leads, God guides, God provides. Think about the mercy of God's gifts, beloved. Not only do we not deserve anything from God, but because of our sin, all we deserve is judgment. But we get grace. Ask God to help you see that in everything, every day. God will help you see that. So you feel more wonder, more grace, more mercy displayed in this blood-bought gift. Again, it's the glasses that bring clarity to say, God, I thank you for. And things become clearer because I want to know you more. I want to understand. And how long should you do this? Well, you should do this until you see, until you feel more of God's gracious and glorious mercy. Keep praying for the Spirit's Jesus-revealing work. And keep thinking about the worth and the mercy of God's gifts until you sense more of God's glorious mercy in Christ Jesus and express your thanksgiving, express your joyful praise to God. Thank God for his gifts, expressing the worth of each gift and the mercy of each gift as we bring it into focus. Thank you, God. I now see the clear contours of what you were doing and where I was. Thank God for his gifts, expressing the worth of each gift and the mercy of each gift, and rejoice in how each gift displays the glory of God's grace to you. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. We all need help to see God's glorious mercy. And gratitude, like glasses, can help. So for the sake of your joy, for the sake of your joy in God, put on the glasses of gratitude and see your Heavenly Father more clearly. Instead of grumbling, give thanks. Well, I can't thank him for this. Yeah, you can. He brought it for you. Yes, you can. Isn't it our joy and our desire to see him more clearly? Gratitude, saying thank you, God. I know I can trust you. I lean on you. I love your care. What's the worst that could happen? I could die and be with you for eternity. How is that bad? Gratitude. Thank you, God. Help me see you
more clearly. Father, we thank you that you've given us the tools we need, eyes to see, people to speak with. You've given us what we need to see your hand, to know its movement, to grasp it. May we rest in that grace and give thanks and find our peace there. For you are our sanctuary. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's children said, Amen.